you get into the workplace and you get people that are trying to make themselves look good for the boss. And my goodness, some people can brag themselves up. Can you imagine if heaven was like that? It'd be sickening. But heaven is based on what Christ did. So when I'm in heaven, I'm not going to be saying what I did. I'm going to be looking at Christ and I'm going to be saying, He did this for me. And every single person in heaven is going to be saying the exact same thing. Not of works, lest man should boast. I have one more song I want to sing. Just one verse, number 188. I want to sing verse 2. The way some rhymes, it sticks in your head. And this verse always sticks in my head. Verse 2. Oh, why was he there? It's talking about Jesus. Why was he there? As the bearer of sin. If on Jesus my guilt was not laid. Or why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing blood? If his dying, my death is not paid. He was there as the bearer of my sin. That blood flowed from his side. Because his dying, my debt is paid. I had a debt. Because he died on that cross, my debt has been paid. Number 188, verse 2. End the chorus.
Oh, why was he there as a bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid, or why from his side flowed the sin-cleansing blood, if his dying my death has not paid. Oh, 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 heaven, there is life in a load at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for me.
I would like to officially welcome everybody that's here tonight. We're glad you're here. I know the sun outside, it definitely, I don't know if I have that seasonal depression or what, but I know I saw that sun come out today and it just cheered me up. It was exciting and I would enjoy nothing more than sitting on the deck and soaking in the sun tonight. But we're here. I'm glad that you guys are here, and hopefully with God's help, my time here isn't a waste either. Kevin, I asked him when he walked in this evening, I said, "You're the preacher tonight, are you?" And he said, "I'm not a preacher." And neither of us are. But Kevin and I have both had a moment in our lives where we've seen what Jesus has done for us. And our purpose here tonight, what we're doing is we want to share to the best of our ability that with you. In hopes that you can see what Jesus did for you. So, without going any further, I'm just going to ask God's help on the meeting. Father in heaven, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is Easter. It's the day that we celebrate the fact that Jesus raised from the dead. But we know that Friday was the day where his death is thought of, where it's commemorated. And we know that as an innocent man, he never should have went to that cross, but we're glad he did. Because as we sang, he was there as the bearer of my sin. And we know that because of that cross, because of our sins that were laid on him there, we can be free, we can be made right with yourself. So we give thanks that he paid for our sins. We give thanks that we can be justified by faith. And we just ask for your definite help in sharing this message tonight. We need it. We pray that you'd speak in your Son's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to start tonight with a Bible story. And so we will turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. It's a story, I guess, that takes a few people in, And I want to make a point at the end of it. We're going to read a couple of stories, I guess. But Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake, so this is Jesus, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. So this man, he had a daughter, she was sick, she died. This man came to Jesus. He says, lay your hand on her, and she shall live. Jesus had, he was known to perform miracles. This man realized that Jesus was what he needed to rescue, to bring back to life his daughter. He knew that that was something Jesus could do. He had faith. So verse 19, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. So this story kind of gets put on pause, and in verse 20 we see a woman. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Your faith has made you whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Back to the ruler with the daughter. And Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. He said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. This is a funeral going on, you know? You know, you're supposed to be respectful. You're supposed to act good at a funeral. And they all started laughing and mocking him. But when the people were put forth, when the people were put out, he went in, he took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went out into all that land. So after all the people were took out, Jesus took the girl's hand and brought her up. She was raised from the dead. And all of a sudden, all those people who were laughing at him weren't laughing anymore. Verse 27, And Jesus, when Jesus departed thence, when he left there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind man said unto him, when he came into the house and the blind man came unto him, Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I can do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. And he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in the country. That's as far as we're going to go with this story, but I wanted to make the point. First, we have the ruler. He has a need. His daughter died. He came to Jesus. Then, we see the woman. I don't know what disease she had, but she had a disease for 12 years, an issue of blood, whatever it was. I'm quite sure over 12 years she didn't just sit there and endure it. She probably did everything she could to try and fix this disease. She probably went to all the top doctors, probably spent every penny she had, but she was not healed. Nobody was able to do anything for her, but she knew Jesus. He can help me. If I only touched the hem of his garment, she had faith that she'd be made right. If she just touched the hem, you know, the hem of your pants, she just walked up and touched it. She had a need. She saw the one that could meet that need. Then we see these two blind men. Same thing, they were blind. As far as I know, there's no cure for blindness, not even now. These two blind men had heard probably of other blind men being healed, maybe. And they called out for Jesus. They said, Have mercy on us. We need help. These blind men had a need, and they came to Jesus. Now, I want to come to Matthew chapter 19. So we had four people. They recognized they had a need. that came to Jesus. Now we're coming to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, for another man that came to Jesus. Matthew 19, verse 16, "And behold, one came unto him and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." So he says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? God said, Jesus says, keep the commandments. And the man said unto Jesus, which commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, lie. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He says, I've done all these things since I was a little boy. What do I lack? I'm perfect. Really? That's what he said? He didn't think he lacked anything. And Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sad, sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter the kingdom of heaven. So we see, as I've said this a second ago, but we saw four people. They saw a need, they came to Jesus. Then we read of this man. He came to Jesus, but there was a difference. He wanted to do something for eternal life, but he did not see that he had a need. He said, I've done all this, I'm perfect. I don't need your help. I just need you to tell me what to do and I'll do it. But he didn't see that he had a need. So, four people that saw they had a need, one person that didn't see they had a need. Obviously, the four that saw their need, they came to the right person. Their needs were made right. But this one man that didn't see he had a need, he went away sad. Because he didn't want to, Jesus couldn't help him. He didn't see he had a need, Jesus could not help him. So, I want you to keep that on the back burner. We're going to change gears a little bit. I just want to think about Easter for a second. Today is Easter Sunday, you know. We had Good Friday. Monday is also part of the big weekend. What's the point of Easter? You know, you see Easter bunnies. You know, my daughter, she got an Easter bunny from her great-grandmother today. For, you know, that's what people celebrate now, but that's not what the point of Easter is. Easter was when Jesus died, Friday. Friday is the celebration of Jesus' death, or the remembrance, I guess. And I want to think about that for a second. I don't know how much you guys know about Jesus, and I don't have the time to open and read all the verses, but Jesus was a perfect man. I don't know if you guys know that. He was sinless. He was God's son. He never did anything wrong. And I'm sure if anybody knows who Jesus is, they know that he died on a cross. The cross was the cruelest of deaths, really. The Romans, they perfected the art of killing people and making it painful. And the cross was reserved for the worst. That's where they would send the worst of the worst of the worst. So why was an innocent man on that cross? We sang about that, I guess, didn't he? Why was he there as the bearer of sin? Why was he there dying for sin, even though he had never done anything? Well, I want to read a verse in 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, Christ also, you'd think I had a lisp. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. So Christ was there to suffer for sins. The just, which was Christ, the perfect, the innocent, for the unjust. So he was there in the place of someone else. Christ was not there for his sins. He was there for somebody else's. For Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So if Christ is the one that is just, then we're the ones that are unjust. This verse was written to us. Christ has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Ian read to us this morning in Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 was written hundreds of years before the cross even happened. But you know what God said in Isaiah 53? He says, his soul will be an offering for sin. You know what else it says? We're going to get to what else it says after. It was prophesied that Jesus would die as an offering for sin. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us he died for the unjust. He died in our place so he could bring us to God. So that's Friday. Back to Easter for a second. Friday, an innocent man dies. The just one for us that are unjust. Sunday, that's today. This is the day where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. So I don't know how well you know the story of Jesus, but Jesus was killed on a Friday. He was put in a tomb, and on the third day, so Friday he was dead, Saturday he was dead, the third day, that would be the day that after the third day, that body would be considered impure. It would start rotting. That was what tradition said. Before Jesus became impure, that's just a fun fact. But on the third day, Sunday, Jesus rose again. He walked out of that tomb. He proved that he had power over death. We heard about that this morning. I want to read, actually, in Isaiah 53 for a second to tell you what it says about the resurrection. So, I guess I should have read one a verse first, but in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, it says he was delivered, Jesus was delivered to the cross for our offenses, for our sins, and he was raised again as proof of our justification. So the fact that Jesus rose is proof that God was satisfied. You know, Isaiah 53, again, like I said, 700 or so years before Jesus was even born, it's written in verse 10 of Isaiah 53, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, Jesus. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. We talked about that already. In verse 11, it says, he, God, shall see the travail of his, Jesus. So God shall see the travail of Jesus' soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. The end of verse 12. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. He came between God and those who had sinned. The transgressors is those that have sinned. So the fact that he rose from the dead today, what we celebrate today, Easter, the fact that he rose again is proof that this, what's written in Isaiah 53, it's proof that it's true. God saw what Jesus did, and he was satisfied. He said, that man died for sin, and he completely paid the cost. And I am satisfied with what he has done. So, that's what Easter's all about. Jesus died, Jesus rose again. So, we have this story mulling around in the back of our minds now. We see people that had needs, they came to Jesus. I want to bring that story and apply it to us now. So we have a need. I don't know if you understand that, but in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know if you guys know this, but all means everyone. Everyone that ever was, myself included, all have sinned. Come short of the glory of God. That means, if we've come short of the glory of God, that means we can't be where God is. God's in heaven, and we can't be there if we've sinned. If we're short of the glory of God, it means we can't be anywhere near him. He hates sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 brings it one step further. And it says, not only can we not be where God is, but it says the wages of sin is death. And it doesn't just mean you'll die, but it means eternal death. It means a death that lasts forever after we die. And that's hell. This is all in the Bible. If you need it proven or if you need verses or anything like that, I'm sure somebody here can help you with that afterwards. But this can all be proved from the Bible. So, all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. So, based on those verses, we have sinned. We're short of God's glory and we need help. Well, this is where the cross comes in. We've seen in the story we read at the first that when somebody comes to God, comes to Jesus, saying, I need help, he will help them. He doesn't dangle it in front of anybody. He says, if you ask, I will help. So, I just have some notes here. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. We see that man that came to Jesus, and he didn't think he had a need. He thought he was perfect. And Jesus couldn't help him. You want to know something? God will never, or Jesus, will never force anything on you. If you don't admit that you have a need, he's not going to shove it down your throat. I was into some plumbing yesterday, and I cut a water line before it was drained, and water sprayed everywhere, and it got on my water system and shorted it out. I have a water purification UV light and all that in my house, and water got on it and it ruined it. And all of a sudden I had a need, because I can't drink my water without that. I have a need. I expressed my need, and Michael actually reached out. He said, Luke, I have a power supply if you need it. Michael gave me the power supply today. I plugged it in. Everything is fixed. Now, last week, if Michael had come to me and said, Luke, you're going to ruin that on Saturday. Here's a power supply. Take it. I would have been like, you're crazy. I don't need that. Now, I'm not trying to be irreverent, but nobody likes it when people force things down your throat, right? And God will never, ever force you into anything. But if you come to Jesus admitting, I am a sinner, I need help. That's why he went to the cross. He will save you. We sang that. Only trust him. He will save you. He has done everything. We sang that too. There's nothing. All the doing is completed. Now 'tis look, believe, and live. I think we sang that song. I wanted to. So we can't do anything to purchase salvation. Jesus has done it all. We already talked about it. It's not of works, because if it was of works, heaven would be a big brag fest. Wouldn't be enjoyable. It wouldn't be about Jesus. But Jesus did everything for us. So, we have a need. That is that our sin has separated us from God. Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die for his sin because he didn't have any. He died for our sin. If we trust in him, we can be made right with God. We can be brought back into communication with God. We can be on the same, not the same level, but we can be brought back to God. And that separation that sin causes is gone. We can be in heaven with God. And the proof that all of this is true is the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. That's proof that God is completely satisfied with what Jesus did. And it's 100% enough to save our souls. So, I'll leave you with these words. Only trust him, like the song says. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.